given how creative and how really inquisitive the millennials are, there's going to be so many challenges for them to face. What's going to be out there tomorrow? That's what excites me.
Welcome to Speaking Insurance, a weekly podcast where we talk with successful insurance and risk management professionals to gain some insight into their success and talk about the topics that are relevant to you. This is Speaking Insurance. Today we continue our discussion with Deborah Richardson, the Director of the Risk Management Program at the University of Texas at Dallas. So Deborah, what would you say if somebody came to you now, knowing what you do, and said, hey, you know, I want to start an insurance and risk management program at a university?
Okay, well, you have to really know that the university leaders are going to be behind you. So unless you have a real come to Jesus meeting with the dean of the College of Business, right? And find out from that dean, does the president support this? Does the provost support this? It can't be an afterthought. And really, when UT Dallas started talking to me, I did that very same thing. I said, tell me why you want to start a program. And so the answers I got were correct. I don't want people to think of this as a secondary career. Well, I've tried everything else. I guess I'll try risk management and insurance. If a person wants to start a program and the sense they're getting is, well, you know, the industry wants us to do it and we really don't want to do it, don't do it. Because you have to have the support of the school. You have to have support of the industry around you. We are very lucky in Texas, and especially in the DFW area, that we have a lot of support. But if you wanted to start one in Dirty Hoof, Idaho, you know, you better find out who your support going to be, okay? Because I will tell you, teaching at a state school, you know, the state school doesn't pay for students to come on trips. If I'm going to a competition, they pay. But if I want to bring students to a CPCU conference or to a, you know, a RIMS thing, I have to raise the money. So industry support is paramount, but equally as important is the support from the university. So, and I would tell that person to sit down with you folks, the National Alliance, and say, okay, how do we partner? Because if you don't go in working on the UACIC, you're missing something. Sit down with the CPCU folks and say, we want your waivers too. So if you do it the right way, these kids will come out with their degree with two CPCUs, two CICs, possibly two CRMs as your program goes. I mean, there's not a lot of students come out with internationally recognized exam waivers for doing well in a class. So I think it's key to reach out to the other education folks like you to partner with it. Nobody does this on an island. You know, it's got to be all of us together. So,
but what do you think about, are there more programs needed? When you try to find students a job, is it hard for them to find a job?
No. No. In fact, my experience at UNT was that they had multiple job offers well before they graduate. Now at UTD, we're still building it up, but I will tell you that I, out of the two or three that graduated in the fall, that took our very first classes in the fall, they all got jobs. There was very, you know, a few of them. They only had one class with me, so it's not that we can take any credit for it. It's just that I think having at least one risk management class helped them. A couple of them went to Ernst & Young. Some went to brokers. But the fact that they even had just one risk management class lets the people know, yes, he has a finance degree, but he also understands a little bit about how business all puts together. So whether we need more classes or not, or more programs, I don't know. I will say this. I think that every school that has a business degree needs a risk management class or two. I don't really know how you can say you have a bona fide business degree without at least having a principal's class of risk management to see how everything works. Now, starting of the programs, does it dilute the system? I don't know. You know, I don't know. And that's a fair question because we want more students in the industry, but should we focus on the schools that have programs versus every single person tries to have its own program? I think there's more synergy if you just say, let's have three or four top schools in a state instead of every university having it. They can have one or two classes. So
what would you say if you had the opportunity to talk to a parent who was sending their child to a school? What would you tell them?
I would say, listen, okay, no matter what your child wants to study, I don't care if it's theater arts, I don't care if it's radio, TV, film, you have to have some business classes so that you understand how the world works. Again, you're going to be a taxpayer, we assume, okay, if you're going to be a productive citizen. So, first of all, no matter your degree in whatever college, take some business classes. Now, if you're going to get a business degree, consider this as one of your primary choices, because we are practically the only recession-proof industry out there. You will always need what we do. Back to my earlier point, you can't borrow money from the bank to start a business, buy a house, buy a car, hire employees, you know, get funding. You can't sell global products. You can't do anything without what we do. So therefore, take at least 3 to 4 classes or major in risk management. It's a great undergraduate degree for law school because it really touches all bases. So I would tell them, instead of getting, you know, graduating with 3,000 of your closest friends getting a finance degree or an accounting degree, focus on risk management and set yourself apart, because this transcends other things. If you get a degree in, say, marketing or accounting, it's harder to come over to this side. But if you get a degree concentrated in risk management, you can do other jobs. Does that make sense? So it's a well-rounded business degree.
And your child will find a job, right?
Most importantly, your student, your child will find a job. And really, again, back to the millennials, they don't want just a job. They want to know that they're contributing to society. They really do. So in our programs, they will do community service. They will learn to give back. They will go on trips. I know when I went to college, no one took me on free trips to San Diego, Vancouver, you know, Philadelphia, wherever. So you'll have the chance to do that. We have more scholarships than any program in the College of Business, both at UNT and now I'm finding at UT Dallas. We have more scholarships for our students than anybody. And we have more internships, and they're all paid internships. We don't have free internships in our business. So I would tell a parent, definitely check this one out, for sure, if you want your child to be off the payroll in 4 years.
Can you touch a little bit on Gamma Iota Sigma?
All right. Gamma Iota Sigma, which I discovered when I started teaching at UNT. When I was in the industry, I didn't know much about it. I started teaching in 2009, and I really think that it didn't hit its stride until about that time. I think exponentially, the growth from 2009 until 2012 has just been crazy. Gamma Iota Sigma helps these students to see that there are other students studying risk management and insurance and actuarial science. I think it's so good for the kids in the actuarial science programs because they are getting to meet the folks that they're going to be dealing with all the time. And I would say that's about any volunteer organization. Practice your leadership. Practice your organization while you're in a fraternity like that. It is it's a social fraternity to some degree, but yet it really is a business professional fraternity. You learn skills. I was never so impressed as when I went to the first student conference, and saw how those kids acted and behaved and dressed in the school spirit. I mean, it's a competition as to who has the best t-shirts and jerseys and blazers and all that stuff, and to see all the school colors and the roll call skits, and to see, you know, and these kids are going to work together in their whole careers, you know, across the country. So the fact that you're, I would tell, again, the parent, you know, that your student can be involved in a fraternity like this, not just a Greek fraternity that's a social thing, but to really get a well-rounded experience and again, to connect with people all over. In Dallas, Fort Worth, we have a GIS alumni council that's run by a guy from Temple University. We have people from University of Iowa. We have Illinois State. We have people from all over the country that were in Gamma that now work in Dallas, and they have a happy hour every month. There's 40, 50 people there every month, and they're from every university around. So I don't know of many fraternities that do that sort of thing.
All right. Well, anything else in closing that we didn't touch on?
I think the most important thing that we can take away from what I've learned in the 7 years I've been doing it now is the importance of alliances. Everybody talks about networks and how important they are, but I think it's our job to explain to students why networks are important, not just to say, well, you need to get out there and network and gather business cards. Well, if we don't teach them what to do after they get the business card, we really haven't done a whole lot of service. I think that ours is, the professors that teach risk management insurance, it is different than teaching any other thing. It's not just a one class and done type thing. We really become mentors to these kids because, again, back to our earlier conversation, somebody tapped us on the shoulder at some point and said, we think you've got some talent. Let's help you develop that. None of us have gotten to where we are by just studying books or just reading about things. There's a combination of the technical education with the personal one-on-one. And I don't care how high-tech we get in our business. If you cannot converse eyeball to eyeball with someone, you're really not going to do well. You know, I'm sure in our industry we have jobs we can put you in, you know. However, the majority of them, even actuaries, I mean, people think actuaries are in the little room with their numbers. They have to talk to people, especially large accounts, setting a loss pick. They have to deal with underwriting and pricing. There's no aspect of our business. Doesn't mean you have to be an extrovert, that you have to be, you know, whatever, but you have to learn how to communicate. And so I think as professionals, what you guys are doing, what we're doing, you're telling people, take the skills you have, develop them out, be a lifelong learner. Don't just think that it's one and done, because first of all, it's no fun to do that. What's the fun of just going to a job and doing the same thing for 40 years? Never. I mean, just shoot me now, you know. So make something out of it. And I would say people that want to start programs like this, I would say, first of all, call existing programs and say, do you have an opportunity for me to come teach, and see if you really like doing it first. Because there's all of us, I'm hiring adjuncts for the fall now. So try that out before you jump in and try to start a program. Because there's a lot more work than people think.
I think you mentioned that you've never worked so hard in your life.
That's right. You know, it's funny because my husband, the first 2 weeks I worked at UNT, because I was so excited and being around these young people is so energetic. I called him one night going home saying, I can't believe they pay me to do this. This is so awesome. I love doing this. By the third week, I'm calling him going, okay, now I get why they're paying me. All right, now I get it. So, you know, it is a lot of work. It's a lot of work outside the classroom because, again, I've got to go to CPCU meetings. I've got to go to Dallas agents meetings. I have to do all these things, but it's all for the students, you know. But it's fun work. It's rewarding. And they do give you energy being around these kids. And sometimes I have to tell them, hey, listen, you know, especially at conferences like this, you guys go on. I'm good. I'm going back to the hotel. I can't hang with the big dogs anymore. I'm not out till 1 or 2 in the morning and getting up for breakfast. So, but it's a fun industry. And I appreciate you guys and all that you do. I mean, I've had my CIC 25 years now, and I've had my CRM, I don't know, 15, 20 years. I was one of the very first ones coming out with it. And I can tell you that the National Alliance has been so helpful to me with resources and the articles. And I can't tell you how many of your articles from Resources Magazine that I use in class, and I test them over it. And I, you know, I want them to read them and be part of it. And so it's really been helpful to me as an educator to have that partnership. Appreciate it.
What excites you about insurance and risk management?
Gosh, I think all the opportunities. Every day we think of another emerging risk out there. I was talking to Hal Weston, in fact, Georgia State University, and he said he had an exam question, and he and I were debating it for 20 minutes what the right answer was. You're on your hovercraft, and you run into somebody. Is there any insurance? Is that homeowners? Well, I don't know. Is it auto? I don't know. And so emerging risks like that, what do we do about hovercrafts? What do we do about the driverless cars? Everybody's, you know, worrying about the crash and all that. What about somebody hacking into it? What's the cyber implications? So I think that given how creative and how really inquisitive the millennials are, there's going to be so many challenges for them to face, that the old risks of, you know, that we grew up facing, our emerging risk was, you know, Teflon in our cookware, you know, nanotechnology. That's old stuff now. I mean, so what's going to be out there tomorrow? That's what excites me. And what excites me is knowing that our industry really takes care of the world. They just don't know it. But if you spend some time with us, we'll tell you that we do. We take care of everybody. So that's an exciting field to be in. Not many people can say that.
All right. Thanks, Deborah. For more information on university programs in insurance and risk management, visit thenationalalliance.com/academy. If you have any comments on today's podcast or suggestions for future podcast topics, visit the National Alliance on LinkedIn and drop us a comment. This is Speaking Insurance.